As we have been on this journey considering Jesus' parables in worship together, I too have begun thinking in parables, not only in Jesus' parables, but parables that come along as we live and appear when I'm least expecting them. It's like smacking myself right into them, which I guess is appropriate since the word parable literally means thrown together, as if, boom, you didn't see it, and now you do. You're going along, and everything is normal, and now without warning, you just collide with some flash of insight, and you know for sure that the kingdom of God has just come near. You just saw a piece of it. You don't know why, you don't know how. You are just glad it happened, and that you happened to be paying attention at the moment it broke. So here are some of the parables that have floated up to me in the past weeks. The kingdom of God is like a group of youth who go out of their way to support one of their own after surgery, coming along with gifts of cookies and a song so they won't feel so alone or away from the community during recovery. Or the kingdom of God is like a new graduate student moving to a new state, into a new community, knowing no one, but coming with a recommendation of a church to check out. This student allows herself to be encircled and welcomed into a new community with loving arms. The kingdom of God is like a woman who serves as a pastor in a new congregation and has endured the multiple heartbreaks of multiple miscarriages. Now entering her third trimester, she is finally allowing herself to be just vulnerable enough to share the news and her hope for a healthy son. Her community of clergy colleagues have showered her from afar with hand-me-downs and gifts that she can't bring herself to prepare for the fear that she still carries. And these are just some of the parables that have just flown up to me in the past weeks. I really wasn't expecting them, but it makes me wonder if there is something about parables that makes us take notice, because it seems like we're walking around in a parallel universe, like we're plunged into a new reality where things are different. The way things happen seem out of the ordinary from how we would normally have expected them. With the pace of life zooming around us in these parable moments, there is a pause if we are able to catch it and see life break open into new meaning. And that takes paying attention. It takes risk. It takes us walking out of our offices and out of our homes and out of our cars, maybe even walking on the side of the street to do something different, away from our TVs and our phones and all of those great distractions, into the path of the parables, where the wild things are and where the kingdom of God is there to be noticed. So our task this morning is to witness to how the kingdom of God comes to us through Matthew's telling of Jesus' parable. For the kingdom of God is like a landowner who goes on an extended trip. And haven't we all felt like God has done that to us at times, gone on a trip and left us in charge of more than we would have wanted? In this particular parable, the landowner entrusts his property to three stewards, whom he asks to look over things while he is away in the form of talents. Talents, we learn, is currency, and it's a lot of it. We come to know that one talent is something like what a worker would make over the course of a career. So to one he gives five, to one he gives two, and another one. And the steward who received the five talents must have received a good tip about investing, because he quickly doubled his money. The same thing happened to the one who received the two. He made a good investment. But the third servant took the money and hid it in a little burial place. And when that landowner returned to see what happened, he was furious that the last servant had not done more with his investment like the first two. He never put the money at risk so he could return everything he had just like he began with. Everything was maintained, nothing was changed, just as the landowner had left it. I'm sure after pausing to take in everything he had heard, the landowner responded, "You fool! You thought that all I wanted was my money merely maintained. You thought that keeping things the same was the safest approach. You thought that I would be pleased with this rigid and unrisking work? Well, as I see it, you have wasted the talents of a generation and have threatened the futures of many. I am removing your responsibilities immediately and giving them to another advisor who can be trusted. For to those who are wise, more will be given, more opportunities to grow in wisdom, and we will all be blessed by them. But those who are foolish, they must lose their responsibility lest they danger us all. As for this worthless advisor, who was so full of pride for his closed-mindedness, toss him to the curb and let the loss of honor and respect be his punishment. To grow the gift, and in so doing risk losing it, or to preserve the gift, burying it in the ground where we know it will be safe, but completely useless. This is the question of Jesus' parable, one of the final parables that he tells in the Gospel of Matthew as he marches close towards the cross. Jesus knows what is before him. He is to be like the master who goes away, entrusting us, his disciples, with the gospel, which is more valuable than any amount of talents. And we, as the recipients of God's grace, what are we to do? Do we risk or do we bury? For to each of us has been given particular gifts, particular talents, and the hope of this gift is that we will use our gifts, our skills, our time, our energy, our very lives in the service of our Lord, and in so doing, honor the great giver of gifts by using them in a way that shines greater light on God and exponentially grows God's gift of love in this world. To risk or to bury, to respond to God's gift with faith or fear. I see this parable play out when my mother's extended family gathers together for one of our important dinners. Between all of our different homes, we have many heirloom pieces of china and silver and crystal, and the question always comes up, do we use it? Because it, of course, would be beautiful to have on the table, but what if we break a piece? Or what if Cousin Raymond sticks it in the dishwasher again? Or in the microwave? And it's lost. You know what? It's better not to risk it. Just bury it all back in the cabinet or under the bed. Keep it safe. The kingdom of God is like when I unpacked my boxes moving into my graduate school dorm. My mother had snuck an extra box in the pile, and as I opened it up, I was panicked. She had packed my great-grandmother's silver service. What on earth was that doing in a dorm room? So I called my mother and said, "Take it back. I don't want this responsibility." And she says, "Oh, come on. Use it. Use it when you have people over for Saturday morning waffle parties or that late night study snack we all know you need silverware for." It was meant to be used. Those forks and spoons were doing no good sitting at home tucked away. To risk or to bury, to respond to God's gifts with faith or fear. The kingdom of God is like the plant that refuses to flower out of fear for being exposed, or the teenager in school that refuses to let anyone see their musical gifts for fear of losing the security of popularity, or the parents that cling with the death grip to their children's lives out of fear, refusing to let them grow up on their own and into the people whom God is calling them to be. Fear takes many forms. And fear can downright petrify us and keep us from moving in any direction. To risk or to bury, to respond to God's gifts with faith or with fear. The kingdom of God was like a group of high school students who had just finished a long, tedious year of school. Some of them played sports, some of them worked jobs, some of them played instruments or performed in school plays. Some were amazing artists. Most of them volunteered around town, and some of them were class officers. And some of them had just endured a stress-filled year of college applications. These youth were a very, very busy and talented group of people. And finally, after months of longing for it to come, summer finally arrived. And they knew they would able to breathe in that gift of freedom and homework-free air. They had been given the gift of time, the gift of freedom. And with this gift of summer came a question. Would they bury their gift or would they risk it? Would they bury their gifts of time, energy, and talents deep in a hole of self-consumption and entertainment? That this is my summer to use as I see fit and enjoy how I want to, or they risk it? Risk losing a whole week of their summer to go on a mission trip to Alabama? Would they risk a whole week without the comforts of the television and the choice of how long to sleep to work in the hot, muggy, mosquito-infested parts of Mobile? Would they risk a week without being plugged in to their precious communication that they hold on so tightly to? Or would they risk losing the gift of freedom and relaxation in exchange to travel to a land with people who are hungry and without and in need? Would they risk it? Or would they bury it? These youth knew that their lives are from God, and their joy and hope are gifts made real for them in Christ. They know what they have been entrusted with, these gifts from their master, and they are responding to the very risky call to honor the giver of gifts by investing them in a community far away, where their joy and their hope might be doubled in the lives of those they go to serve in Christ's name. For God does not give us these gifts with only generosity in mind, but expectation. Expectation to serve and give and make a difference. To risk or to bury. To respond to God's gifts with faith or fear. The kingdom of God is like a community that chooses to be active on this Sunday afternoon, using their gifts of time and energy and service to join together to support the crop walk, raising funds and visual awareness of our commitment to fight hunger, giving up an afternoon of football and a good nap. We choose to walk, responding to the call to serve and increase the lives of others, to risk or to bury, to respond to God's call with faith or fear, to live lives of love in response to God's overabundant grace, or to live safe, risk-free lives of fear. This is the question, and it's the question we each face when we consider our response to the overabundant grace of God. Let's risk it. Amen.